prestigious public universities in the country, U of I has the opportunity to be a real leader when it comes to responsible investment. The university knows coal is bad for a plethora of reasons. One of the largest is the immense public health issues associated with coal. Coal is the number one source of mercury pollution and a leading trigger of asthma attacks. Coal causes 13,000 asthma attacks a year, and 1 in 10 children in this country suffers from asthma. The university should not be investing in the dirtiest coal companies. If the university is going to be truly beyond coal, it shouldn't support the industry financially at all. U of I has an opportunity to be a real leader among public institutions, the Big Ten, and most of all, on a national scale. It could be the first university to take the position that investing responsibly does not include investing in the coal industry. University will show students, prospective students, alumni, and insiders of higher education that U of I is an innovative leader, not a follower. Being a responsible investor is economically intelligent for the future of the endowment. The endowment accrues funds in perpetuity, so long-term risks have more of an effect on its health than short-term returns. Becoming more responsibly invested with regards to coal mitigates risk. Coal is not a part of our energy future. Already, wind employs more people than coal does. By shifting investments to secure industries, U of I prevents huge losses from the eventual phasing out of coal in our country. The Beyond Coal campaign has nationally has set for retirement or prevented the construction of over 150 coal-fired power plants. In the past several months alone, from Kentucky to Virginia, coal-fired power plants are setting retirement dates, and utility companies are beginning to allow consumers to purchase electricity from 100% renewable energy. We're not the only ones who feel this way. We have the support of more than 2,000 students, as well as various student groups and faculty members, such as Nobel laureate Dr. Schlesinger. We've received media attention around our work on campus, and it is evident that the University of Illinois community wants the university to become a responsible investor, which does not include coal investments. Thus, our ask of you is to disclose the foundation's investments in the dirtiest coal companies and to move these investments to more sustainable industries, both environmentally and economically. We ask if you will disclose these investments and make U of I a responsible investor. Also, we have passed out a letter to each of you in regards to this that lists the 10 utility companies that rely most heavily on coal and 5 coal mining companies. All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Nice. I'd like now to call on Dino Pollack.
Good afternoon, and thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the opportunity to come before you today. I come to you as an attorney, a two-time alum, very proud alum of the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. I am a former football player, played from 1986 to 90, and I'm a varsity letterman, and I am absolutely proud of my university. And I want to preface my remarks by saying that. I think constructive criticism makes us all stronger, and I think that the opportunity to do great things is before us at Illinois. Currently, we have a coaching vacancy at the University of Illinois, and that process is ongoing, and I'm sure and I have every confidence that our AD, Mike Thomas, is doing a fabulous job vetting various candidates and making sure that we get the very best candidate at the University of Illinois, because we're a first-class institution, and I think we all expect to go to bowl games on a regular basis and compete for championships. And that's what we as former players want. And I stress to you today that I'm also speaking as somebody who's very passionate about this school. I bleed orange and blue. And so what I want to do today, very shortly in the brief time that I have, is walk you through an effort that we made 7 years ago before Ron Zook was hired. I led an effort by dozens of former student athletes, basketball and football, white and black, to lead an effort to get the university and this board to seriously consider hiring an African American to be head coach at our university. Not an African American simply for the sake of race, but someone who is excellent, who we know will do a great job and who can get the job done and who is vested in Illinois. We see this school as a destination school. We don't need just a big name. We need a name that will be vested in Illinois and that will bleed orange and blue and not look to go somewhere else as a stepping stone school. And so names like Kirby Wilson, Kevin Sumlin, Eric Studisville, these are guys that are out there who are excellent and who are at the top of their trade. And I think that our school has to give them a fair shot. And the reason why I say this is because if you look at the statistics, and I'm going to invite the board to, at your leisure, and I know you're all very busy people, to look at the Institute for Diversity and Ethics in Sport at Central Florida University. And Dr. Richard Lapchek puts out an annual report on the diversity in the demographics within major college football. And if you look at this year's stats, they're encouraging from what they were 7 years ago, but they are nowhere near where they need to be. Let me just give you a quick little cliff note version. 52% of all major college football players are African American. That is obviously an overrepresentation of what we are in the general population. However, only 15% of all of the FBS schools have an African American coach. Now, this is infinitely better than it was 7 years ago when I led this effort. There were only 3 African-American head coaches out of 119 at that point. There are 17 African-American head coaches out of 120 this year, starting this year. The problem with this is none of that progress has been made in the Big Ten Conference. The University of Illinois, I am sadly to report, is one of 2 Big Ten universities to have never hired an African-American head coach in football or men's basketball. That is a statistic that must change. That is a sense of history that must change for the better. And we want, at the end of the day, we supported Ron Zook because Ron Zook was the man that our school hired. We were not pleased at the time, but we supported the Zook administration and the Zook era. I participated, we all came back for various functions, et cetera. But now is the time to really look at the opportunity to make a jump at history here. And when you look at the administration, when you talk about the number one or the top administrators in college athletics, that being the presidents, the college presidents, the faculty reps, and the athletic directors, over 91% of all of those jobs are held by white males. That is something that must change. We are the University of Illinois. I believe we're the greatest public university in this country, and we can do better, and we should. Now, my former teammates and many of the guys that I played with who I'm speaking for and about, I'm very proud of. We're astronauts. We're lawyers. We're doctors. We're executives at major corporations. We're professional athletes. We are doctors and lawyers and professional athletes. We're presidents of companies. But we can't be head coach of a football team at our alma mater. So these are the things that I want you to consider. Let's make history. Not for the sake of making history, but because it is consistent with the best of our values, diversity, inclusion, excellence. These are things that I know Illinois can do, and we will do. Thank you.
Thank you. thank you. I'm just thanking both of you. We appreciate that. Okay, so we're just about at the end here. We have an announcement about future meetings. We're going to meet Wednesday and Thursday, January 18th and 19th. Chicago for a board retreat and a regular meeting. Thursday, March 15th in Urbana, and Thursday, May 31st in Chicago. Karen and I talked a little bit about some of the timing and whether or not we could come back here during the legislative session, so there may be some fine-tuning of those dates over the next couple of weeks. Okay. Can we have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
So moved.
I guess, is there any old business? Any new business? Okay. So now we can have that.
Mr. McGinley, was there a second?
Second. To adjourn, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Tim? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. We stand adjourned. Okay. Now I need a motion to convene.